of the Lord here and the power of Christ I stand. Mark in chapter 2 is where we'll be. We have part 4 of a message, of a series that I started several weeks ago titled, When Christ Comes to Town. And so this is the fourth part. I realize that as we moved into parts 1 through 3, we ended up having a Mother's Day, and then we had Palm Sunday, and then obviously we had a resurrection celebration last Sunday. And so I want to finish this series out of Mark chapter 2 this morning and bring closure to that which we have been looking at, really started about 6 weeks ago. Mark chapter 2, and looking with me, if you will, in verse 12, the Bible says yet again, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Father, we pray a special blessing upon the preaching this morning, the time that we have together one with another. And Lord, as we look at the closure of this particular story, only one event out of so many that changed the lives of millions upon millions of people over the last 2,000 years. Father, I pray, dear God, that we would draw to the characteristics of this man who was healed, whose sins were forgiven, who was made whole, dear God, and obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we can do the same. And Father, this is my request this morning. If there be anything in our heart and our mind that hinders us today from receiving what you have in store for us, let us, Lord God, bring it in subjection to the name of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we need commitment and dedication amongst the people, Father. And I ask of you this morning, convict and lay upon people's heart to do just that. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. So, beloved, we have heard many things in this series, and I realize we started it about 6 weeks ago, and we've looked at 12 verses as of today. In the second chapter of the book of Mark. And again, I'm not going to have another review without having another review of what we have seen within the scriptures. We have seen, we've experienced friends that are in the ministry. We've seen that. We've seen families. We've seen foes. All of in the midst of the account of this one sick of the palsy. He receives forgiveness of sins. He receives the healing of his body. And it is an absolute amazing thing to see what great things the Lord has performed in these early days of his earthly ministry. There are some characteristics that I believe that we can draw to in this tail end of the event. As to what we've already seen in the first 11 verses, beloved, I believe it's no mistake. I believe there is no need to rehash them. I believe that if you read those verses and you look at the characteristics of those that this man was surrounded by, you should be convicted to the heart. Beloved, I wonder sometimes where our commitment and our dedication is to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, it's one thing to say you're committed to him. It's another thing to confess his holy name. But it is all together a completely different thing to truly be dedicated and committed to the Lord. Beloved, I see people in this life today that are On the outside, they are committed souls and committed people to whatever. Okay, use the going to exercise, the gym. We see people running around all over the place. We see people on Sunday going to the pitch over here. We see people on Sunday at the path as Denise and I are walking over to the church, and they're all gathered together with their little rubbish bags and their little pokers to go through the path and pick up garbage. And you know what? Praise the Lord for that. That's a good thing. But I wonder, why do you got to do it at 11 o'clock on Sunday? That pagan that's up in Abedare, that pagan lady who is, that's what she's a self-proclaimed pagan. She worships the birds and the bees in the sycamore tree. She is a witchcraft. She is a Satanist. Organized an event last Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for a little Easter egg hunt for all the youth of the area. And I just wonder sometimes, I wonder that the parents that do those things and rob their kids and take them out of the house of God or disregard church altogether, I wonder where their hearts are. If your children don't understand that Sunday morning and Wednesday night, or every time there is a service that the doors are open in your house, that that's when you're in church, no matter what else is going on, they're not going to see commitment in your life. And you can tell them you're committed all you want, but your actions are going to speak 10 times louder than your words. You're either committed or you're not. Now, you say, well, I see people exercising, they must be committed. They could be just addicted. My friend, there is a great difference between addiction and commitment. Exercise is very easily to get addicted to. Very easy. Doesn't mean you're committed to it. Doesn't mean you're committed to the challenges. It doesn't mean you're committed to a better life. It doesn't mean you're committed to being healthier. It just means you're addicted to the events of the exercise. And guess what happens? When something else comes into your life, you're going to get addicted to that and you're going to run off from exercise. I'm just using exercise as an example because it is a very easy thing to be addicted to. See, we hear the word addiction, guys, and we look at it as such a negative word, and really and truly understand that it is. But Paul talked about people being people addicting themselves to the ministry. Guys, I'm just saying this on the onset today. We see a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous miracle that happens in Mark chapter 2, but we see it for a particular reason, because four men were committed to the cause to get their friend to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you this morning, you will never bring anyone to the Lord Jesus Christ without commitment to his holy word, his church, amen, and his purpose in this life. It will never happen. All you'll do is reproduce people who cannot reproduce Christians in their life, reproduce salvation. So, beloved, yeah, it comes with a cost. Be in the house of God when it's open. Amen? Be a witness. Be a tool. Be someone who's dedicated to the Word of God. Your Bible should be with you the majority of the time of your life. It's not something to just be sat on a shelf or at home or sitting next to the nightstand, or you just pick it up on Sunday. Some of you don't even bring a Bible to church. I'm just saying this here, and I understand we have them here. Praise God. But are you committed today? We don't have verse 12 of Mark chapter 2 without commitment. You take commitment out of the game here, we don't have the event. They could have said they were committed, but they didn't say it. They proved it by getting up on top of that roof and start pulling tiles away just to get in the presence of Jesus Christ. I wonder how many obstacles we're willing to go through in our life. I wonder how much we're willing to put to the side in our life to be here when the doors are open. You need to think about that this morning. You need to think about that this week. You need to be thinking about that in your heart and your life. Because Jesus Christ died for the local church. He died for your soul. He died for men like this who would get a friend, somebody they loved and they cared about, before Jesus Christ himself, before himself. This man, guys, received a great blessing this day. He received help. He received hope. He received healing. And I want you to notice with me this morning that first and foremost, he received help, hope, and healing, and he was not ashamed. He was not ashamed. Look there in verse 12, and we can read it on the screen. It says, immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. The greatest gift this man has ever received in his entire life was just given to him, and therefore he was gladly obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and was not ashamed of what Jesus did for him. I had a new pastor of a supporting church send a letter, just introducing himself and wanted to get to know me a little bit better, wanted to know my testimony of salvation. So I had gotten that letter in yesterday, and so I was typing it out this morning, and I was just going back to that moment of those days of the 31st of December, 1990. I went back to what it was like and what Jesus Christ did for me that day. And my soul, I am not ashamed of it. I am not ashamed of it at all. Paul said this. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Not just the chosen frozen, not just a select few, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Every soul that will believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this is the power of God unto salvation. And my friend, you should not be ashamed of that today. You shouldn't be ashamed of it. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ is recorded in Luke chapter 9 saying this, verse 26. He said, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Think about this. I want you to think about this verse for just a moment. It does not seem to be an inclusive statement in Luke 9:26. It just says of the man who is ashamed of the Lord and his words, the Lord's going to be ashamed of him when he comes into his own glory and to his Father's and to the angels. You say, well, preacher, what does that necessarily mean? I want you to think about something. I want you to think about 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is the chapter that depicts us standing at the judgment seat of Christ. When I say us, I mean the church, the born-again believers, not the lost. Not being judged according for you. Your sins are cleansed. Can I get an amen? Your sins are gone, amen? Those things are, they're covered and they're cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are done and dusted, amen? He answered for those for you. But your works is a different story. Your works are a whole other animal altogether. 1 Corinthians 3, it's not on the screen, but turn it, look at it in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 3, just a handful of verses over. Punch page 188 and 189 in my Bible. That doesn't help you at all. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 says, now if any man build upon this foundation, that's the foundation of Jesus Christ. Let's go back one verse. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we'll stop there for just a moment. When you signed on the dotted line, when you said, Lord Jesus Christ, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, please forgive me of my sins, I confess the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you got saved, your salvation is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. From that point forward, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgotten. That doesn't mean you may not give an answer. Guys, listen, if you were a 30-year drunk and you got saved and born again, praise God, spiritually, those things are forgiven. That doesn't mean you're not going to come down with a cirrhosis of the liver. That doesn't mean that at all. But for the spiritually speaking, your sins are forgiven and gone. They're cleansed, amen, washed, made white as snow. So your life is built from that moment forward upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And my friend, that's what you're going to give an answer for right there. Verse 12 says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. That means it's going to be revealed. It's going to be open for all. For the day shall declare, because it, meaning your works, what you built upon the foundation, it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now that sort is the wood, hay, or stubble, or the gold, silver, precious stone. That sort is made even clearer to our understanding in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, saying whether they be good or bad. It's all tied together with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, where it says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, okay? It's able to divide the bone and the marrow, but the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You may have done a work that was a very good work on the outside, but your intentions were selfish. Guess where that falls? Wood, hay, stubble. Guess what happens when you light a match before wood, hay, and stubble? It goes up in smoke, amen? So I ask you this question here this morning. As Paul says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Oh, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We love to focus on that last part. Hallelujah. Our soul is saved. We can't lose salvation. But can I tell you what right here this morning? And I'm going to make it probably a... This is going to be a bit of a bold statement. When we emphasize so greatly, yet his soul shall be saved so as by fire. When we say, hallelujah, at least my soul is going to be saved, that is a carnal and an earthly thought. Carnal and earthly thought. Listen, don't get me wrong. Praise God, we can't lose salvation. Praise the Lord, there's no such thing as a chosen frozen. Calvinism is a myth. Praise God that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah to that. And praise God that we are locked and sealed in the day of redemption. Please don't mistake what I'm saying. But if you sit here this morning with the mindset of, well, I may suffer loss, but at least my soul's going to be saved, that's only going to get you through this earth. Because, my friend, the only thing that is going to matter the day you stand naked as a jaybird before Jesus Christ is what you've done for him and how you've built upon that foundation. And I'm not meaning to park here. I'm not meaning to park here this morning, but I'm going to give the Lord the liberty he needs and he deserves, and I'm going to follow him this morning. Whether I finish this message or not, I'm not worried about it. I'm going to follow what he has. We count as if we have all of our life. We count as if we have all of our, that, you know, we got plenty of time. My dad, and you've heard this story before, but my dad sat me down at the end of every season. And as I got older, and I played my final game for that season, he sat me down the very next day across the table. He says, now, B, here's the deal. This is how many days you have until next season. This is on a calendar. This is how many days you have to train and you have to prepare for test time of game one in the next season. And the difference between who's going to win on game one and the man across from you is what you do today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But in our carnal mind, we say, you know what? I'll do it tomorrow. I'll get started tomorrow. I'll get back on my diet on Monday. I'll start witnessing to people next week. I'll start committing to church next week. And you know what happens? As my dad taught me, tomorrow never comes. I'm saying that to make this point, my friend. It sounds good on the onset, but here's what happens. When you stand on game day, when you stand across from that opponent, you are going to be found naked because you didn't produce in the days and the times that you should have. Yes, you may have accomplished all these great and wonderful things, and you may have built great towers and built tall buildings and did all these things in this world. But what you do for Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to matter in the day that you stand upon that foundation and you are judged so as by fire. If it's man's dead works, that's wood, hay, and stubble, it's going up in smoke, and you're going to stand there naked before Jesus Christ, and he is going to be ashamed of you and ashamed of me. That's all that's going to matter. It's what we do for him. The pile of ashes sat around us. There's two times in the book of Revelation when we look at the end times that God wipes away tears. Both of them are after a judgment. The judgment seat of Christ and then the great white throne judgment. You say, oh, there's no tears in heaven. No, sir. If rapture happened right now, no tears, no aches, no pains, is not for at least 1,007 years. It's when eternity begins, it's when there'll be no aches, no pains, no crying. But I can guarantee you, and you can bet your bottom dollar this morning, that at the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be loads of weeping. The things you could have done, you should have done, the commitment you should have had, the things I should have done, the people I should have witnessed to, the places I should have gone, the prayers that I missed, the opportunities that I forsook. And I'm going to weep like a baby, I'm going to be exposed because it's all going to be made manifest. You hear me this morning, what I'm trying to tell you? There was a difference in this man's life. He realized it, he knew it, and therefore, under zero circumstances, was he going to be ashamed. He didn't care if Herod lit the Pope. He was going to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what we are? We're afraid of what it's going to cost us. We're afraid of what, oh, you know, it may cost me this, it may cost me that. It may cost me a friend. May cost them their soul. Guys, what right do we have to be ashamed of Jesus Christ in this world? Can I take another step back? I'm watching my time, guys. When we were the servants of Satan, what did we do? Let's just be honest with one another. Served him with gladness. Served him with joy, at least for a season. Oh, it was great. Yeah? Think about it like this. And this may hit home. I don't know if it does or not. I hope it doesn't. When sinners are sinning and the camera comes around, and the phone. We don't have real cameras anymore, do we? We got phones. And the phone comes around and the Instagram and the TikTok and the Twitter and all this other stuff. And they got that glass bottle or that red cup, as you would rednecks in the States or whatever. They got that in their hands. And they said, we're going to get a picture. What's the first thing they do? They hold it up in the air, don't they? Cheers. Let's make a toast. Let's get that devil's brew out in front. Look at what I'm doing. I'm a sinner. I'm prideful. Sin is prideful. They don't hide it. I'm not ashamed of it. When's the last time we stood up and we said, Jesus Christ? Paul covers this as well in Romans 6:20. And for time's sake, I'll just read it. Romans 6:20 and 21 says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Listen carefully. What fruit had ye then in those things where ye are now ashamed? What fruit did you have when you were serving the devil, faithfully serving him, and serving him without shame? A million times more should we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. A million times more should we gladly serve him and not be ashamed because of what he has done for us, nor for who he is. Philippians 1:20, according to my expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now as Christ suffered, be magnified in my body. Paul says, whether it be by life or by death, take care. Let Jesus Christ be seen in me, whether it's through my living or this, by my death, one way or another, I want Jesus Christ to be glorified, Paul's saying. Sin is running rampant in our land. Today, men will have an opportunity, an option, if you will, to either stand at the sacred desk of churches and preach the Word of God the way it should be, with boldness, amen, or cower behind a watered-down doctrine passed down from a hierarchy of hirelings. But it's not like the Lord didn't warn us of this. It's not like the Lord didn't say, you know what? I'm going to see it happen. Paul, the Bible tells us that, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I'm going to say this to you guys. I don't think anyone taking a pulpit today has an excuse to marginalize, to pervert, to break, to disobey, to water down this holy scripture. They are without excuse. I don't care if they're using a modern perversion or not. They had a choice to pick up an ESV or NIV or an HIV. They had a choice to either go with the King James Bible or pick up one of the things that are wrong. It's their choice, okay? I'm not smarter than anybody else. I got a book right here. I got a Bible right here that tells me the truth. I got a book right here that exposes everything that I teach you. But I will say this morning. You get taught in this church things that churches around here are not being taught. You get more biblical truth within a Sunday and a Wednesday here at this place right here, guys, than the majority of these places will receive in an entire year. I say that because I learned that from my pastor. We learned more on a Sunday than most pastors knew in the entire county, amen, when I got saved. Why am I saying this to you today? Guys, we have no right whatsoever ever to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man right here in Mark chapter 2, this one that was sick, one sick with the palsy, and he wasn't ashamed. Lord said, pick up your bed. And guess what he did? He picked his bed up. He was obedient. We cannot afford to be ashamed, my friend. And I believe with compassion we must stand, with boldness, not arrogance, we must stand. We must stand and be heard of the Lord Jesus Christ and not be ashamed. Jesus said, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And the Bible says immediately he arose. He didn't see if it fit into his diary. He didn't look to see if he had something better to do. He didn't double check to make sure everything was healed. Immediately he arose. And I ask you this question today. When we know what we ought to do in our Christian life, if Jesus Christ has come to town in your heart, do we with urgency and with immediacy obey him in the manner that we should? Do we obey him like this guy? You see, in this sense, we find this newly converted, healed man, not only was he not ashamed, but the dude took action. I like action. It says, insomuch that they were all amazed. Now let's stop for a second. Who is amazed? Remember we talked about the friends and the families and the foes? That house was pressed full of people. I mean, the whole city had come to hear Jesus Christ speak that day. And Jesus said, get up, take your bed, go. And they all sat back in utter dismay and watched this guy not only be obedient, but do something he could never do before. It is that simple. Beloved, can I say this to you this morning? Guys, don't shut down on me either. Hey, I may have stepped on some toes. I may have hit a nerve. Let that nerve just be hit. It's what we need. Amen? If the Holy Spirit of God is telling you right now that there's some changes that you need to make, don't take that on me. Don't get quiet. Make those changes, amen? Make those changes and improve in your life. We need to put some legs behind our words. Do you know what happens when we start taking action and we're not ashamed in our Christian life? Do you know what's going to happen? People are going to take note. You know who's going to see this? Your coworkers are going to see this. Your neighbors are going to see this. Your family members are going to see this. You say, well, preacher, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the point. That's what we find here. How many people do you see sit back and say, no, get back in that bed? Not a one. And they were all amazed. They were blown disciple away at what had happened to this man, what Jesus Christ did for this man. And they were all amazed and said, we've never seen it like this before. And I'm challenging you today. Don't be ashamed to put some actions behind it. If you still got your Bibles open, turn to Acts chapter 26, look in verse 14 with me. Apostle Paul, again, great testimony for this today. Acts chapter 26, and we look down at verse 14. He's given his testimony here, if you will, before Agrippa, and Agrippa then thought he was nuts anyway. And verse 14, the Bible tells him, when we were all fallen to the earth, he's given his testimony from Acts chapter 9, but he's saying, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, by the way, he wasn't speaking in some gibberish. He said, in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, and for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both to these which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, to whom now I send thee. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin, the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, watch this, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. My friend, the Apostle Paul was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. The Lord gave him some similar commands that he did this man over here in Mark chapter 2 to rise on thy feet, and guess what? Paul did. And because Paul was obedient to what the Lord Jesus Christ said unto him that day, we sit here right now in South Wales, we sit here right now in the Cunning Valley, we sit here right now in Sarah Chapel Independent Baptist Church, saved and born again because Paul was obedient to the heavenly call. Now, my soul, man, when you put some actions upon not being ashamed in your life, what do you think is going to happen to those that are around you? What do you think is going to happen to those coworkers when they see you acting different, living different, walking different, talking different? They're going to want some of that. They're going to want some of that in their life. People need something that's positive. People want to see a change. They want to see something that is real, my friend. Not this synthetic plastic that we live with in the world today. Not this happy, clappy gibberish and all this stuff that makes no sense biblically. They don't want that. What they want is something they can sink their teeth in. And my friend, it is your job to do that, just like it's mine. God's put me in a particular circle, and I'm to do that in my circle. God's put you in a particular circle, and you're to do that, all the while being committed and dedicated to the local church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to His Word, to times in prayer that makes a difference in your life. Showing that you're not ashamed, but putting actions behind the words that God has given you. And a difference will be made in the souls that are around you. Lastly, this morning, and we'll be done, I want you to see the results of a man who is not ashamed, a man who took action. We find his adoration. We find actually adoration. Notice there in verse 12, it says, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now here's the key. Because he wasn't ashamed, and because he took action, can I ask you, who's giving the adoration? Is it the man or the people who saw him? It's the people, my friend. And glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Can we just brag on God a little bit this morning as we close? Can we just lift up his name and exalt his word, bring glory to him today so that we may leave here and we may bring adoration to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may have actions in our lives so that we're not ashamed, so the world may say, my soul, I've never seen this before. And that may be shocking to you. You said Christianity's been around for 2,000 years. Oh, we're a Christian nation. We're no more in a Christian nation today than the heart of the most pagan country on the planet. Well over half of our population deny that God even exists. Don't tell me we're a Christian nation. No, sir. Less than 1.5% of the entire population of 64 million people even attend church. Did you know there's more people that use cocaine in the United Kingdom than attend church on Sunday morning? The percentage is higher. Figured that little thing out this past week. Think about that for just a second. That speaks to our shame. Whose shame? The church's shame. The saints' shame. The generation that went past who forsook the house of God and the word of God. Amen. But boy, I tell you, when you take a stand, when you glorify him for who and what he is, when you glorify him for what he's done, when you put some actions and you're not ashamed, there'll be adoration eventually in the world today. Psalm 96 tells us this in verse 1 through 8. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Adoration. Psalm 97, verses 9 and 12 says, for thou, Lord, art high above all the earth, thou art exalted above all gods. Verse 12 says, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth through all generations. And finally, Psalm 92. Verse 13 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Commitment, dedication brings forth someone who's not ashamed of Jesus Christ. It allows us to put actions behind our words. And my friend, when Christ comes to town, there will be adoration. There's a British minister by the name of W.E. Sangster. Began to lose his voice and his mobility in the mid-1950s. He had a disease which caused a progressive musculature atrophy throughout his body. He recognized the end was near, so he threw himself into writing and praying. And in the midst of his suffering, he pleaded, let me stay in the struggle, Lord. He says, I don't mind if I can no longer be a general, but give me just a regiment to lead. Sangster's voice eventually failed completely and his legs became useless. And on Easter morning, just a few weeks before his death, he took a pen and he shakenly wrote his daughter a letter. And in that letter, he said, it is terrible to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice with which to shout, "He is risen." But it would be still more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout. So, beloved, I ask you where you are this morning. Are you different today since Christ came to town in your heart and your life? Is there a shame in you of who and what Christ is? Are there actions behind you saying, "I'm not ashamed"? We'll see. We'll see. Is there adoration to the Lord Jesus Christ in your sphere of influence? You're making a difference in those that you're around, those that you have you have conversations with. Do people look at you, say there's something different about them in a positive way? Beloved, I'm just here to tell you this morning, when Christ comes to town, there's a difference. When Christ comes to town, there's healing. Yes, there's happiness. When Christ comes to town, you'll be not ashamed. You'll put actions behind that which you say. But beloved, there'll be some form of adoration in the world. There'll be some form of adoration around you because somebody's going to say, "I've never seen this before. I've never seen somebody go through that, and wow, I've never seen them be that obedient. I've never seen someone who's not ashamed. I've never seen on this fashion before." And I'm going to give glory to God. So I ask you, beloved, has Christ come to town in your life? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together this morning. We wholeheartedly pray and ask you today that if you will, bless our hearts, our souls, our mind. Let us take the word of God, dear God. Let us allow it to absorb deep inside of our heart and our soul. I pray that we can make a difference in our life. But Father, I pray today, what we do, what we say, that our level of commitment would bring glory and honor and praise to Jesus Christ. And it would show the world that we are not ashamed of who and what he is. And that which he has done for us and the sacrifice that you paid in sending your only begotten son. Let us, Father, put action, Lord God, behind our words. And I pray, dear Lord in heaven, that whatever we do, I pray that it be so magnificent, that it be so big, that there be adoration for God Almighty, that only God could do it. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask all of these things. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. I do hope and pray the sermon you just heard was a tender blessing to your heart and to your soul. I hope that it gives you the encouragement, edification to face the challenges that we see each and every day and week throughout our life. I'd like to invite you out to one of our live services here at Seren Chapel in Aberaman. We are located on Lewis Street as well as Davis Street. Davis Street is the entrance to our chapel, and as well as Lewis Street is the entrance to our hall, and you can use either one of them. But secondly today, guys, I would like to share just a brief message to you now to ask you to where you are going in eternity. If today was the last day you were alive, if today, by some tragedy, this was the last moment you had on this earth, when you closed your eyes, would you wake up and see Jesus Christ? It is a simple question, guys, and it is even a more simple answer. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, paid the ultimate price for mankind. He gave us the free pass to eternal life by giving his life on the cross of Calvary, being buried into that grave, but rising again on the third day. It is simple as this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, guys, while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that he gave his life. As a matter of fact, Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin is defined as the transgression of God's law. But what happened was the payment for mankind is death. Romans 6:23 clearly tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you today, What would stop you right here, right now, from bowing your head and saying a prayer much like this? Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in you. Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you stepped up out of the grave to give us victory over sin and victory over death. I invite you into my heart and ask forgiveness of my sins and ask you to lead, God, and direct me throughout the rest of my life. Now, here's the thing. You say that prayer in your own words, but you have to say it and believe in it. Remember, Romans 10:9 says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from the Word of God. That is a promise from God himself. That is the promise from the Creator of all things, that if you'll believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask forgiveness of your sins, accept his free gift and pardon of sin into your heart today, that you will be born again, that you will have eternal life in heaven. Guys, I hope and pray this is a blessing to you today. I hope and pray that you'd make that decision. And if you have, if you've made that decision today, let us rejoice with you. Come by and see us here at the church, or hit us up online at any of the social media outlets or through email or however you can. Just share with us the glorious transformation that you just received in your life. Guys, I hope to see you soon in the house of God. Hope to see you soon right here in Sharon Chapel. And may the Lord be with each and every one of you. God bless.